Hey everybody, welcome to the Ground Effect Podcast, where we dive into the heart of Formula One, bringing you the latest news, insider analysis, and sharing our thoughts on the motorsport we love. So come and join us, G and Mick, as we look forward to what promises to be an exciting 2025 Formula One season. G'day race fans, is Max Verstappen back in with a shot of the Drivers' Championship? Mick, it was a big weekend for him, a masterclass, from lights out to checkered flag win. Is he back?
Yeah, look, I mean, seven races to go. It's not over till the fat lady sings, so anything can happen. It's definitely going to take results like we saw on Sunday from McLaren for him to be in the shot. But like I said, man, you can't rule the dude out. He's a gun. If you bet against him, you bet at your own peril.
Well, you promised a ball terror in the preview, and I think we got the ball terror definitely on Saturday. Look, it had a little bit of everything. We had a paddock cat that, you know, stole the limelight in the early part of the weekend. McLaren, what happened to them? Oscar Piastri, big mistake. Lando Norris probably didn't capitalize as much as he should have. And we had plenty of drivers that are currently under pressure bringing out their season best performance. So not much to complain about. Plenty going on.
Yeah, look, from Friday, man, basically up until Sunday, it was a wild weekend, dude. There was cars in the wall, mixed conditions. We had a two-hour-long qualifying session with six red flags, which I think is the most in F1 history. It was all happening, and then we get to Sunday, man, and Max the Missile drives down off the road and definitely raises the question. He could be back in the hunt.
I've gone from there's no chance to like, there's a slight chance now. There's a slight chance. Well, let's get stuck into it straight away with Red Bull. Look, it was a great result for the team. Max Verstappen, as we said, in control pretty much from the get-go. Yuki Tsunoda also pitching in finally, getting into Q3, pulling off a P6 in the race, double points finish. First time for a long time that I can remember some decent points coming in from both drivers.
Start off with Max, man. Not much more you can say. We've seen when that car's in that lower downforce configuration, it's probably the fastest car out there. It's definitely well ahead of McLaren. But I think the biggest story is Yuki. Let's give him a round of applause. Yuki, this is what you're supposed to do every weekend.
Yeah.
You get yourself into Q3.
Yep.
So he set himself up, then finishes the race in six, man. Yeah, it was really solid all weekend. You've now brought Red Bull back into contention. I think, what, 14-point gap to third place now? So they're in the battle for second still.
Well, it's such an intriguing battle with Yuki Tsunoda, Liam Lawson, Isaac Hadjar. Of course, we know he's pretty much safe, but there's so much going on at Red Bull, particularly Liam Lawson and Yuki Tsunoda. They've got to really maximize every outing now with only a handful of races left. So Yuki's finally done that. So the key now is he just needs to back that up because we haven't seen him able to do that so far. Max Verstappen, look, I mean, that was a masterclass on the Saturday. Chaotic. He got the job done on that final lap. It's just what you expect from the champion. But this is the thing. You know, he's closed that gap now due to McLaren's poor weekend showing.
Yeah.
Well, and you got to give him the slightest chance because one more banana skin for McLaren, which could easily happen again, it's like, woof,
yeah,
you may have a three-way on the hands.
Yeah, a menage a trois, if you will. But look, man, exactly right. If McLaren have more weekends like we saw this weekend, man, mate, absolutely maxes in with the hunt. If they don't, then it's definitely going to be a lot harder. And look, the jury's still out on that car because we've seen the last two weekends, it's been in the low downforce where the car's really come alive. The new upgrade, they brought the floor in Monza and it seemed to have helped. Now, when we go to circuits where it's more higher downforce levels, that's where McLaren really comes into its own. So once we get to those kind of circuits and we see where McLaren's really at compared to the Red Bull, then we'll get a proper idea of whether Max is really in with a shot. But look, it's a great bounce back from where they were. Anything can happen. And like I said, too, also that battle in the constructors now is even tighter. And Yuki's just got to, every weekend from here on out, you've got to do what you did this weekend.
It's all about maintaining your seat and P2 in the constructors for Red Bull. So no pressure, Yuki, but the time is now, son. Now, Mercedes, George Russell and Kimi Antonelli, good double points out for them as well, particularly for Kimi. He needed this result. It was a good qualifying session, qualified fourth, finished fourth. But George Russell, qualified fifth, finishes P2. Again, it always feels like he does nothing during the race.
yeah,
and just ends up where he needs to end up.
Yeah, the quiet achiever, right? He's not in the spotlight and he's just going under the radar and just doing the job, man. Super consistent. And he's been really crook as well. There was talk on Friday that he was considering pulling out and they were going to put Bottas in the car for the weekend.
He was rough over the radio early start of the weekend.
That makes that effort even more special, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the word I'm looking for. But look, cooler conditions this weekend. Mercedes loves the cooler conditions for whatever reason. It's a much needed weekend overall. It was the weekend that Kimi needed, right? He was a little bit scrappy. He had a bit of a wild qualifying session.
Yeah, he sort of scraped through, but
yeah, and then
end of the day got it done.
Yeah, and managed to out-qualify Russell, which is no mean feat, right? Now, with a performance like that, they've jumped to second in the Constructors.
Yeah, big money. Big money. And well, technically, they're still in the hunt of winning the Constructors. McLaren have not wrapped it up, have they?
Yeah, no. We go to Singapore now.
Singapore. Well, guess who gets a promotion today? And that's Williams on the back of Carlos Sainz. What a performance. Got the job done on the Saturday. Look, I thought he was a shot with maybe clinching that pole if that rain came. Look, he'll be very happy with that. I think that's the result we know that Carlos is definitely capable of.
Yeah.
Probably to his own standards, a bit of a substandard year, a lot of bad luck. So finally, the shackles are off and he's got a big result. Albon on the other side, well,
oh, frustrated.
A bit of a weekend to forget, particularly, you know, it all just went pear-shaped in qualifying when he took the inside of turn one.
Yeah. Carlos aside, man, all the bad luck he's had this year, has been paid back in full now. So, yep. And what's that? That's the first podium, I think. Baku was their last podium in 2017, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, if I remember rightly, they talk about it was the first podium of a race that wasn't interrupted, because I think George Russell had one with them when it rained out in Belgium. Was that around 2020, 2021 or something like that?
21, I think it was, yeah.
And then 2017, I think it was no other than Sir Lancelot.
Yeah,
Lance Stroll.
Lance Stroll, yeah, yeah. The biggest thing, man, is for them, that's their first points since Canada. And to stay and try and hold on to that fifth position in the Constructors, that's massive. I thought he was a shot for pole, and I was hoping the rain would come. Look, at the end of the day, he got overcut by Russell in the race. There's not much he could do there. Albon's side, man, he's got to be frustrated, dude, because the pace was there. They were looking really strong this weekend. So, missed opportunity there. James Vowles needs a massive rap. He's got that team humming along nicely.
Liam Lawson, Racing Bulls, a great weekend. Both drivers in the points. Saturday, epic from Liam. Qualified career best P3. What I liked about his performance in qualifying was in his last final push lap, he went even quicker to secure that spot. Isaac qualified 8th, but a bit of a tricky race, but still managed to bring it home in 10th, pick up a point. But he was actually lucky to start the race. He had some hydraulic issues, I believe it was, just, half an hour before the race starts. So, yeah. Good job from the RB mechanics to get him on the grid ready to go.
These are the kind of weekends I think we're starting to expect from these guys now. Lawson in qualifying on his final push lap managed to improve, but that was because he got a banker lap in early, right? And there was a lot of drivers that couldn't get that banker lap early. So then when it came to their final runs, it was like, how hard do you push? He took advantage of that. Mate, that's his best race of his career, without a doubt. Without a doubt, man.
Mate, there was a lot of pressure behind him. First phase with Antonelli, did well to stay ahead of Antonelli. Obviously, Antonelli finally got the job done with the undercut. But with Leclerc, keeping Leclerc behind in that Ferrari was a massive, massive effort. And then later on in the race, with where he formed that little DRS train with Yuki, Lando, I think Leclerc, Hamilton. Yeah, definitely a masterclass, particularly those final 10 laps under immense amount of pressure.
Yeah, and I mean, how quick is that car?
Yeah.
Like you had...
Slippery.
You had all those guys with DRS behind you and you nailed the last sector every single lap. That's what you had to do, because the moment you made a mistake there, they were on your gearbox and you would have got passed. So
that exit was phenomenal every single lap.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And that is the Liam Lawson that we know. Hadjar, man, struggled on the mediums at the start of the race, got onto the hard tyres and then found some pace and just did a good job, man, to get the thing home in 10th. And that's a great weekend for them. This is what we're saying. Both cars in the points.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Did you see Hadjar's trademark angry Hadjar moment?
Yeah.
In Q3, banging on the steering wheel and just, what did he say? I'm stupid or I'm an effing idiot along those lines. So he was pretty disappointed with, you know, qualifying 8th.
Yeah. Well, I guess you know the potential, right? You know the potential of where that car should be. So, yeah, the frustration. And not only that, man, he had a a cool little battle with Lewis too at the start of the race. Fought him clean but really hard. Like I said, man, they've got to be super happy with that weekend. You have to be.
Yeah, well, the constructors, we've talked about it, the double points, and they were the midfield team that was able to do that. Yeah. So
they jumped Aston now, haven't they?
Yes, they're not far away from P5 and Williams. There's still plenty to play for at that midfield for that P5. So yeah, they're in with a hunt because, I mean, they're looking good. They're looking really good.
Williams, if they're still having weekends where, one driver has an off weekend and doesn't make the points, and we continually get Lawson and Hadjar continually both in the points, which we're starting to consistently see now, mate, that, what is it? It's not even 30 points. That will erode fairly quickly.
McLaren. Probably one of the worst weekends of the year. Oscar Piastri, what are you doing, mate? Hopefully that's the crapper out of the way for the rest of the season. Lando Norris, that was his opportunity to capitalize, and he didn't quite maximize it.
Hell no. Like, Piastri, man, when you get on that plane and you go to wherever it is you got to go, when you land, bro, you go straight and get yourself a lottery ticket and put your numbers in, man, because you got away big time. Like, you got away by the skin of your teeth this weekend. I'll just start with the team, man. That was a shit show from Friday, right? So it started, you had Oscar with, I think he had a hydraulic issue in the first, well, I think he did an outlap and had to come back in. Then FP2, you had Lando hit the wall. Then qualifying, Oscar in the wall. Pressure ramps up on Lando. Lando then couldn't get the job done in qualifying. Pressure, maybe, maybe not. Look, tricky conditions. So we'll put it down to that. Then the race, Oscar, jump start. Oscar in the wall. Lando, slow pit stop. That would have to be one of their worst weekends as a team in a very, 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 very long time. Oscar, both times he hit the wall, he just went in way too hot. The telecast was like, oh, is he starting to feel the pressure? No, man, he was just on frigging cold tires, went in way too hot. Shit happens. I agree, Lando, man, missed a big opportunity, and that started with he should have been on the front row. Easily,
yeah.
That car was good enough for second. Probably would not have been good enough for pole. I still think they're a little bit draggy in the low downforce stuff. So when we go to circuits like Las Vegas, I think they're going to be in a bit of trouble. He needed to be on the front row. And then he got caught out too, man, on the safety car restart. Like, he was caught napping. Like, you can't do that, man. And he got passed by Charles. And then that put him on the back foot and then compounded again for the second weekend in a row. He had a really slow pit stop.
Let's go back to Oscar Piastri's mistake, because we know he doesn't make many mistakes. Most of us, when we look at Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri side to side, we can be quite critical on Lando Norris's mistakes. He's bottled it, he's under pressure. But the feeling is, if Piastri does something like this, and it was a pretty critical mistake too, within a matter of what, under a minute, false start, then putting into the wall. Are we a little unfair in our criticisms of Lando and not highlighting perhaps Oscar Piastri is just cracking just a little bit?
No. No. Look, man, like, Saturday was the perfect example, right? Now, look, yes, it was very tricky conditions, but even still, man, Max comes out and smokes and puts the thing on pole. Max didn't make a mistake. Yes, there's no pressure on Max, but the moment the pressure is on Lando, it seemed maybe a little bit too much, man, and he had a super scrap. That last lap, man, was just dirty. It was shit. Like, when you had the opportunity to capitalize, and you think about it, if he qualified second, he would have finished second.
He would have been on podium for sure, right? Yeah.
So he hurt himself on Saturday. Yeah. And that, when that pressure, especially in qualifying, when you've only got one opportunity to get it right, you didn't do it. You couldn't do it.
So you flipped it. You put it straight back on Lando again.
Well, it is on Lando, because Lando has the most to lose. He's the one who needs to make every single moment count if he wants to win this championship.
No, I agree. And he missed a big one. He missed a big one.
Okay, yes, he still took six points away. And that's why I said Oscar needs to go buy a frigging lotto ticket, man. He muffed it on Saturday.
Yeah.
Lando couldn't capitalize. He muffed it on Sunday. Lando couldn't capitalize.
No, I agree with everything you said. Obviously, Lando has that reputation as being the bottler. We see Oscar Piastri cool as a cucumber. So it just seems to be probably a little bit unfair on Lando.
Yeah, oh, I agree. Like, I mean, you can see too. He goes into to do his media, and he's just getting the shits, man, because it's the same old questions. And it's just like, look, mate, okay, he said, I didn't do the job on Saturday, so that hurt him in the race. But when it comes to the race, he did everything he could, but it just wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
It just, they didn't have the pace. And generally, when Oscar makes a mistake, the results are minimal. This is the first time we've seen a mistake that has really could have potentially cost him big time.
Yeah.
But fortunately for him, it didn't happen. And we know to win a world championship, yes, you need to be in the fastest car. You need to be consistent, but you do need an element of luck. But I don't think we'll see another mistake like that again. I think that
until next time out in Singapore where those walls are nice and close.
Well, who knows? Like, again, man, like, who knows? This is it, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a big learning from Oscar. Like, I dodged a bullet here. No more of that. And Lando is, unfortunately, man, you're getting these questions because you're not doing the job when the heat is being applied. That's the reason. Like, if he came out and put it in second,
exactly,
none of this pressure talk or he bottles it would come about. It's because you're not delivering in the crucial moments.
I cannot disagree with that because these are crucial moments. And these are those type of moments where at the end of the season, you start to look back and go, what if?
You do feel for him, man. Like, he is copping a heap of shit for it. And it's like, mate, put yourself in his shoes, man. Like, you see your teammate crashing the wall. You're under the pump for the championship. This is your opportunity. How many other people could go out there and get the job done? Put yourself in his shoes, man. Like, it's not fucking easy.
No, not at all.
And especially in those conditions, man, because they were wild, right?
And the thing is, look, we saw plenty of other top experienced drivers have issues.
Yeah.
So it's not as though it was just like a one-off. It was just Lando that had the issue.
Yeah.
So it was very tricky, the winds. So, yeah, really tough. Very tough.
But I think for McLaren, man, this weekend,
it's a write-off.
I think Stella and Zach would be like, meeting on Monday, this shit cannot happen again. Because, it may, if they have weekends like this, like you said, it may end up costing them the Drivers' Championship. Look, we know the Constructors is not a matter of if, but when, probably next time out in Singapore. If you keep having weekends like this, you do let the door open for someone like Max. And Max is a driver that can capitalize on every single moment.
Well, that's the thing. He makes the most out of them, doesn't he? When the moments are there, those critical ones, he seems to get it right 99 times out of 100. And we've seen that in the past and we'll see it in the future. And that's why I cannot discount Max out of the championship. There's still that tiny little bit of chance. All right, Ferrari. No. Bit of a weird one for Ferrari. I think for Charles, he'd be really disappointed. He could have, he had that pretty astounding record, 4 poles in a row at Baku. But unfortunately, came a cropper in qualifying and that basically ruined him. But,
I am stupid. Again.
Just an incident.
That's a massive missed opportunity this weekend. They had the pace to be on the front row. Both cars.
Lewis, he qualified 12th, was eliminated in Q2, which was a bit of a shock, and I think a bit of shock to him as well because he knew that the car was pretty decent. I mean, he was fastest in FP2, so he was looking strong. Leclerc just, look, we know with Leclerc, he pushes it to the limit. You watch some of those pole laps that he's got or any sort of fast lap. He's on the edge. He knows how to get on the edge, but he just sometimes has a tendency to go over it. We knew Baku is that type of track. You go slightly over, you're going to be punished. So P10 start. What happened at the end there? Because was Lewis Hamilton meant to give the position back? Both Ferraris, they finished 8th and 9th. Lewis ahead. Give me the inside.
Originally, they swapped positions during the race because Lewis was on a better strategy. He started on the hards and went really long and then jumped onto the mediums. And Charles was vice versa. And Charles pitted super early, I think lap 22, and then went on the hards. So he had no tyres at the end to challenge anyone. So they swapped the positions. Hamilton, he could get up onto the back, but he couldn't do anything. It was just a DRS train. Right at the end, he got the call super late, and he moved over, hit the brakes. But by the time they crossed the line, Charles was still about 4.5 tenths away from passing Lewis. But I don't think that's not the issue, man. That's not the issue. Eighth and ninth is the issue, dude. When you had the pace, definitely to be in the top four, both cars. Like, okay, Lewis, that was the wrong tire. He should have been on the medium tire. He ended up doing 5 laps on the soft tire, even with track evolution. After 5 laps, you're not going to improve on a soft tire. So you needed to be on the medium because you saw the guys on the medium tires. They just kept going and going and going and getting better and better. And then I'm stupid. Like you said, man, he drives that thing on knife's edge in qualifying, and that's what makes him so good. That's what makes him so good in qualifying. But sometimes you're going to get it wrong. And I think Vasseur said it was a gust of wind that ended up throwing him off or forcing the mistake.
Well, we saw a lot of it.
That can happen, man. Oh, man, how windy was it? Did you see all the garbage all over the track?
Yeah, well, like, they're saying
tree branches and everything.
They're saying the big issue is obviously in some parts of the track, it's quite sheltered with the higher buildings, and then other parts of the track, there's bigger openings. And so the wind is very unpredictable, swirly, gusty. And we know how temperamental these cars are with the aero and wind. So it happened a lot.
I have to say, if we're looking for a silver lining for Ferrari, how good did Lewis look this weekend? Mate, he was on pace. And again, in the race, he was quicker than Charles. He was super strong race pace-wise, man. He was on it all weekend. And like I said, man, they were both within a shot to be on the front row. But they were definitely both should have been in the top four. And then when you're not there, that's what hurts you.
Yeah, they left a lot of points out there, and particularly with this Constructors' Championship being such a tight battle, you know, they gave up a lot of points to Mercedes. Tight battle, plenty to play for, big money.
Well, it is.
Someone's got to pay for that big contract of Lewis Hamilton. So, you know, they really need to lock down that P2 and the Constructors for Ferrari. Let's go on. Ferrari-powered Sauber, how appropriate, following with Ferrari there. Bortoleto finishing P11 and Hülkenberg finishing P16. Hülkenberg, again, it's those Saturdays where he's just struggling. Qualified 17th, and Bortoleto, well, he did a better job, got into 13th. It was a bit of a funny one with the back teams. You didn't really see a lot of them. They didn't seem to really feature in anything. Bortoleto, not a bad driver. I mean, just outside the points and now qualifying Hülkenberg yet again. Oh, who's the number one driver over there?
Hulk struggling in qualifying. That's his 11th Q1 exit this season. You know, and then we go into racing. This is now the seventh race in a row that Gabby's beat him.
It's like Hulk got his podium and he found his F1 pinnacle, and now his motivation his motivation's done.
Yeah.
He got his podium, and now he's just like, you know what? I've achieved my Everest.
Yeah.
And I can just sit back, go into retirement mode.
He can go into Kimi mode. Kimi
Raikkonen mode. Yeah. he's entered Raikkonen mode. But
I just think the upgrades, that the development of that car has suited Bortoleto a lot more. For whatever reason, Hulk.
We know also Bortoleto has a lot of potential. I mean, look, he's an F2, F3 champion, but he's just growing. Like, every race weekend, he just seems to get better and better. So,
well, that comes with getting comfortable with the car, right? And that's why I keep...
Experience as well.
Yeah, and I keep going. I think the upgrades and the direction that they've gone, I think, lends itself maybe a little bit more to Gabby's driving style. I thought they could have easily been in Q3 because you saw in the practice sessions, they were both up there. They showed really good speed in the practice sessions. So I thought, it might be on for something here. Gabby just couldn't get that clean lap on his last run. Then we go to the race, and he had the incident with Ocon on lap one, and then he had the damage, and he just got stuck behind Franco and Stroll in the first stint, and then he couldn't really do anything after that. Gabby, super quiet weekend, ran super long, not much he could do.
So it was a bit of a tough one for the back markers, because we didn't really see the deg on the tyres that I think a lot of us expected.
Yeah.
Well, it was basically a one-stopper, wasn't it? Tough one for the back markers without being able to change or, you know, take advantage of a different strategy.
Well, they needed a safety car, right?
Well, I think some were definitely running long hope of that.
Yeah.
100%. And again, another Ferrari-powered car, Haas. Well, they've broken trend. We thought one car at least in the points, and, well, they just didn't really seem to have much this weekend. Ocon, well, he was disqualified in the end, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had the main plane on the rear wing failed the flexi test.
Oh, a little bit of cheating over there at Haas, trying to get an advantage.
Well, look, I mean, they needed to do something because we know that thing's got no straight line speed, right? That thing struggles big time in a straight line. Ollie just kissed the wall coming out of turn two and qualifying, broke the suspension.
P15 for qualifying for him. But race results, 12th for Ollie, 14th for Ocon. So you could say, you know, recovery drive.
Especially for Behrman. I think that car is definitely better in race trim. Like, he seemed a little bit better. And he needed to have a quiet weekend, right? He couldn't get.
Well, he's on the cusp of that penalty, trouble, isn't he?
So he needed a really quiet weekend. On Ocon's side, he had the turn one incident with Hulk, ended up with a puncture, had to come in. They put him on the hards. He did a good job, man, 50 laps on that hard tyre. Unless there was a safety car, there was literally nothing they could do. But,
that was a gamble.
That thing is, straight line speed, struggle streak.
Speaking of struggle street, Aston Martin, look, Fernando did an all right job, P11 in qualifying, and Lance Stroll 14th.
Yep.
Come the race. I mean, poor old Fernando, he got jinxed by Oscar moving. So he got hit with that 5-second penalty, and basically that just ruined his race from that point.
Yep.
Finishing P15, and Lance Stroll, P17, again, just a typical Lance Stroll weekend, really.
This is where we thought they were going to be. We said
they've struggled on the low downforce stuff, haven't they?
Yeah. P11. Again, we kind of said, look, Alonso may pull something out in qualifying. So P11 was definitely maximum. I don't think the car was much better than that. Stroll supposedly had a gust of wind on the final corner, which made him run wide, which killed his qualifying. They had a super quiet race, man. And the most exciting thing was Alonso's jump start, got the penalty. After that, there was nothing he could do.
Yeah. Be interesting to see how that bounced back, because they've been pretty competitive at the tracks that have suited them, picking up good points. And again, they're still in that midfield fight, for a good constructor's finish.
But they ended up getting jumped by V-Carb now, right? Because if you saw both cars in the points, it's massive. Whenever you get two cars in the points, massive.
Alpine. Well, it's just Briatore's. I mean, the look on his face, Gasly goes off first, and then Colapinto one-ups him, hits the wall. And then the pan onto Briatore was, what a moment.
Well, this is what I said. Remember we were saying, one moment Briatore's he's not doing a good enough job. Then, he's under a bit of pressure because he's had two decent results. He's under a bit of pressure, but it's we're looking at keeping him. And then I said, what if he bins it?
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw Briatore's face. This is here we go. So this week, he's gone. He's not going to do anything. But he did come out and say, at least we know it's a shootout between him and Aaron.
So basically he's confirmed that they're looking internally and they're not looking externally, because there were some little rumors, and I think it was more hopium regarding Yuki Tsunoda, maybe pairing alongside Pierre, and we know they're really good friends.
I mean,
they're
doing really well. Not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. I don't think it is a bad idea. But, particularly if Yuki can show some potential this back end of the season, and let's just say poor old Yuki, he gets demoted in the end, and they keep Lawson, they promote Lindblad, move Hadjar over. Again, all speculation. If you are Alpine, you'd go, maybe we need someone that is a bit more experienced. We know Yuki gets along so well with Pierre.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a shot.
Considering they think they're going to be in
competitive
with,
that. Well, they think, with that Mercedes in the back end.
Yeah, and they think they got the chassis to trouble the top teams. So, you can bring in the rookie because you're starting from fresh, new regulations. I think Yuki's not a bad idea, man.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad
idea. I don't think he's going to do better than a rookie driver would, put it that way. If you've got a car that you truly believe that's going to be super competitive, you need two experienced drivers to capitalize, especially in that first year.
The first season, because there's still a lot of development going on in that first year.
Yeah, even the first 2 years of those regulations.
So you could go down the Cadillac route, like they've done with Bottas and Perez, and gone, we know it's all about development. We want two of the, two old heads that can help develop this car. But then again, we have said in the past regarding Red Bull, and I said it personally, one of the big things that the headset at Red Bull was, we're going to bring Yuki in instead of Liam because we need someone with more experience to help develop the car. And then if we looked at that first half of the season, I argued, it's not looking good for Yuki because the results aren't there, but it seems to be no progress with the car.
Yeah.
But now we're starting to go, that Red Bull is now coming alive. Perhaps Yuki has helped develop it along. Again, speculation. But Yuki's a very interesting prospect, especially if he has a pretty decent next seven or eight. Well, what have we got?
That's what I mean. If he can do races like he did this weekend, Absolutely. Yuki to Alpine. Man, I actually don't mind it. I think it would actually be a better option than Paul Aron.
You're going to feel the hate from the Aron fans.
Yeah, but then what you do with Aron is like they did with Kimi Antonelli. You give him, okay, it's going to be a completely different car, an older spec car, and give him the 10, 20,000 kilometers of testing just to get him used to being in a Formula One car. And then if Yuki doesn't improve or isn't successful,
yeah, and just give him 1 year. Just give him targets, 1 year.
Then move him on.
1 year's contract.
Yeah.
Get Aron in the seat doing the mileage like what Mercedes did for Kimi.
Keep him as your reserve and your test driver. Get him in the simulator. Do all your simulator work with him. Go, Yuki, man, this is it. You've got one season. If you perform, we'll give you an extension. If you don't, that's it. You're gone.
Yeah.
And I mean, Briatore is not afraid to do that.
Well, exactly right. It's an interesting, definitely an interesting dynamic. But we just never know with Briatore. He can say these things like, yeah, we're looking internally, and then he can just go completely against the grain. We know what Flavio is capable of. So even if I was Franco and if I was Paul Aron, I would still be sitting there going, sounds good in theory. But yeah, let's see if it plays out.
Yeah.
It was a horrible, horrible weekend for Alpine. Oh, and man, just Franco, look. Oh, man.
Well, he got wrist-sold by Albon, didn't he?
Yeah, well, that was his race pretty much summed up.
The main thing is he was on pace and at stages quicker than his teammate. And that's what he's got to do, right?
Yeah.
And I think strategy-wise, I think they went to split the strategy. At one stage, they did tell Gasly to move over. And then at the end of the race, and they swapped them back. He's done better since the summer break than he has before the summer break.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So
you got to still back him from this point based on what he's done since then.
Yeah, he's been doing a good job.
But it just puts so much pressure back on him because we now go to Singapore. Must dent his confidence a bit because we know he needs to be matching Gasly now.
Well,
this
is the job now, right? The job is just to be more competitive than your teammate. Alpine, unfortunately, if you're an Alpine fan, man, I think this is where you're going to see them for the remainder of the season. Mate, 2026 can't come fast enough for Alpine.
Yeah, well, we know that they're fully focused on next year.
Yeah, so your job now is just you have to beat your teammate, whether it's in qualifying or in the race.
Yeah,
but at least one of those sessions.
But you got to keep it clean, man. It just looks worse because obviously Gasly's just gone off there. And then for him to just come around and then just put it in the wall, which is coincidentally the exact same spot he put it in the wall the year before when he was with Williams.
There was no actual yellow flag. So he didn't actually have to lift. And then when he's gone in, you could see he lost the rear of the car. So whether he's seen...
It would have been a distraction for sure.
Oh, yeah. He's seen his teammate there and gone, what the... Oh, shit. And lost the rear of the car. And it was just, it was a stupid little...
It was clumsy. It was very clumsy.
Very clumsy.
But unfortunately, there's been a lot of clumsy moments. Well, how patient is old Flavio going to be with these clumsy moments? Well, there you have it. The championship battle is still on. If you're a Max fan, you're going to be pretty excited because I think there is a glimmer of hope again. Yeah. There's plenty of points on the table, as we've mentioned, so you just can't discount them. McLaren, well, they need to bounce back because that was a bit of a messy weekend.
Nothing. Simplest way to put it, shit show.
Highlight of the weekend for you.
James Meows.
How good was that?
I hope he
got adopted. I hope someone came along and adopted the little fella because he was a friendly little cat. And look, I know you've got three. I have two. No more, mate.
No more. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
they're a handful.
Yeah. We won't go into that. But man, it's getting spicy at the top. And we are starting to run out of races now. McLaren can't afford to have weekends like that. I still think it's a long shot for Verstappen. We're going to start to go to these circuits now that you would probably say suit McLaren a little bit more, and we'll get to see whether the upgraded floor for Red Bull has truly unlocked something. Pressure mounts even more on the two McLaren boys.
All right, for everyone at home, we'd love to hear your thoughts regarding Max Verstappen. If you think he still factors in this world championship, and of course, McLaren, can they bounce back? And who are you backing? Also, I'd love to hear your thoughts on whether you think Yuki Tsunoda could be an interesting option over at Alpine, which we both agree is looking pretty good. Mick, I normally give you the final thoughts, but I'd love to hear who you think was the driver of the weekends?
Look, you could go with someone like Sainz, no doubt. Smooth operator. That was a pretty smooth operation this weekend. But I'm going to go with our boy Lawson, man. Done it. Best drive of his career. So you can't overlook that. Like, yes, we've seen Sainz on the podium before. We know he has the potential. He just hasn't had the car to be able to do it. But yeah, I'm going to go the other way and I'm going to go Lawson, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't fight my bias. I'm going with Lawson as well. And for those reasons, it was a great job from Sainz, but we know what he's capable of. Lawson, still under a lot of pressure with his future, and basically it was a flawless weekend. It was great through all the practice sessions, no mistakes, got the job done on Saturday, which has been his Achilles heel, and then under immense pressure to hold onto a top five position. So he definitely is my driver of the day. Love to hear yours at home as well. Well, I think that wraps it up, and we have a week off until we get racing again the following week in Singapore.
Yep, can't wait.
So until then, we'll catch you on the next one.